Hey, let's jump into it, Nate. I want to know, we've got this huge test series coming up. We're so excited about it. It's so great that it's going ahead with the Ashes. But how's your preparation going? New South Wales has been very challenging about what you can and can't do, even from a training perspective, let alone playing point of view. So where are you at with that?
It's been a bit challenging, to be honest with you, Jimmy. But we've been very lucky, so a big thanks has to go out to the New South Wales government. We've been able to train during the whole lockdown in small groups, in separate times and all that stuff. But it's been challenging, but I'm sick of training. I've been training for 6 months now, so I'm just ready to go. So I think our first Shield game is looking to be end of this month here in Sydney at Drummoyne Oval against Victoria. Then we'll just play it by ear and see where the second one is.
Yeah, Lino, we know the Ashes series, they're totally different beasts. The theatre behind a whole campaign that the whole nation gets behind it. And your record in Ashes is second to none. What are you looking forward to most about taking on this England team?
I think it's just the challenge again. Obviously, off the back of retaining the Ashes in 2019, I think we left some stones unturned over there. I think we can really come here in Australia and play a really positive brand of cricket, and play a positive brand of cricket that will bring the crowds back and put a big smile on a lot of people's faces. We know how hard everyone's been doing it over the last couple of years. So the biggest challenge is going to be coming up against what everyone's saying that it's not the greatest England side, but I disagree. They've got some absolute superstars in there. Yes, they're missing the likes of Stokes and Archer, but they've still got the best pair in the world currently, and it's hard to go past Jimmy Anderson, who's been pretty effective. I think this is what, his ninth Ashes series.
Yeah, I think the one thing with an Ashes campaign, Lino, and what I've found is your rankings and your squads that you bring together are null and void. It's the passion that both countries show for this. But one thing I've enjoyed watching you over time is I enjoy watching how you deal with the Barmy Army. I know some players can get intimidated by it, but you've still built up a real rapport with the Barmy Army.
Yeah, it's part of the game that I absolutely love, to be honest with you. It's quite hard. Their songs are pretty catchy, so it's pretty bad when Starkey or Jono's bowling from the other end. They're saying he's bowling shit and all this stuff, and you end up singing the whole song with them. So you've got to be very, very careful with that. But no, I'm fingers crossed that the Barmy Army can get out here somehow and create a pretty amazing atmosphere because, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's one of the special things about playing in Ashes is the tradition of different things. You have the bugler with the Barmy Army, and they can bring 30 to 20,000 people out to watch a game. And interesting, you talk about the song. I remember going out to bat with Mitchell Johnson, and Mitch is there, and we're trying to talk serious. Let's get through this tough period. Let's do all the right things. And all I could do when I was looking in his eyes, I was thinking, he swings it to the left, he swings it to the right. And you're right, the tunes that they come up with are catchy. He had the ones with Super Fred, but they've got one for us all when we used to come out to bat. But it's interesting, though, Lino, starting this one. You're actually going to start this campaign at minus 10. I don't know if anyone knew that because.
You're an idiot.
Nathan Lyon is actually a retired Moeen Alley. He terrorised him in last time he was out there. And the teams don't usually get together during the series, but they do come and have a drink together at the back end of the series and after the last test. And Moeen Alley, I thought, in the spirit of the Ashes, and Lino, you can highlight this book a bit more after you terrorise his career, but in good spirits when he walked into the change room after last Ashes campaign.
Yeah, it was good banter. Obviously, a good challenge coming up against the whole English side. But Moeen actually coming to the change rooms with the big piece of paper stuck to his front shin, and it's like had a big target on it and said, "Hit me, Gary." So, so provided a good amount of banter, and yeah, it was good fun, good laugh.
No, he terrorised him the whole time. And I think you go hard at each other on the field. And we see the theatre behind all these battles. But to see the way Moeen Alley handled that situation when he walked into the change room, to me, it was all class.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's the biggest key. If you can go hard, hammer and tong on the field. And if you can have a beer at the end of the day, it's all good. Jimmy, you just put your hand up. You want to ask a question?
It's his show, well, I know.
See what happened there. So we're zooming this one. So people are only getting the audio. But that was a visual clue for Brad and Tristan. But thanks for pointing it out too as well, Lino. That's great. Hey, just on the back of that, your good relationship with Mo and Ali, despite the fact you retired him, is there anyone from all the teams around the globe that you have the best relationship?
Oh, I think it's the English, to be honest with you. But saying that, the IPL is changing everything at the moment. Like, there's a amount of guys over there. Josh Hazlewood's been becoming great mates with Mitch Santner, mainly because of the golf that they're playing over there in the IPL. But he talks about Faf du Plessis being one of the best blokes going around. So I think the IPL's changing that. Me personally, I think I have the best relationship with a few of the English guys.
Yeah, I was going to say, boys, like, is that something you guys have found, like, probably from when you were playing, Brad, and now Nathan, you were obviously in, you know, in both parts of it with the Big Bash and the IPL, like, is there a significantly different relationship with the players now, you know, that you know each other a bit more, you know, playing side by side with them as opposed to just purely competitors? Like, has that changed the sledging and the, you know, that side of it, you know, in the last 10 years?
Well, it hasn't changed Hadge when he used to sledge. He didn't shut up. So it was good fun. I actually really enjoyed it. We need more of it, to be honest with you. But I think it has a little bit, to be honest with you. Obviously, I'm not as old as what Brad is, so he can probably talk about more stories back in the day. But
yeah, I think that, Tristan, can work a couple of ways. Yes, you build a good relationships caused by IPL. But another thing also, once you get back to your own country and you're getting ready for an Ashes campaign when there's no holes barred, you can also pick little things out of what you've seen up close, because Ashes series are won on guys winning big moments and winning those pressure moments. And if you see something over there that can help your team in an Ashes campaign, all that friendship's thrown out the window come that campaign.
Hey, Nate, I'm just looking at your numbers. 100 test matches, 399 wickets. So there's a big milestone. I mean, that's a big milestone for your 100th test. And of course, there's the 400th test wicket that's going to come very shortly. How much do you think about that sort of thing now, as opposed to, and I guess it's you're yet to get there, and Brad has been there, about, you know, looking back on your career and being proud of those achievements, as opposed to when you're in the moment?
Yeah, well, over the last 6 months, I haven't played a test match since January, so I've had a lot of time to reflect on where I am at in my career and where I want to get to. I haven't really thought about the 400th wicket too much because it's a while off yet. So I think it's just more about what I've been able to achieve and the effect that has had on me and my family as well. So a little bit of time, but hopefully I've got a few more years left in me that I can tick off a couple more goals I want to tick off.
Yeah, I think the one thing that I've seen most in your game, Lino, is your constant improvement. You set a hard task straight away, getting a wicket with your first ball in Test cricket, but constant involvement as a Test cricketer. And is that something you're conscious about, making sure you're still turning up, got that love to get better and better? I know you're a student of the game with your craft, is just to try to see how high you can take that ceiling.
Yeah, 100%. And that's been a big focus here at New South Wales Cricket, that just within pre-season training, I've been a big focus on getting fitter and getting stronger, but also skill-wise, trying to get better in bowling, understanding different situations, trying to come up with different training mechanisms, whether that's bowling into the rough and creating different challenges for a young batting group at New South Wales. But also providing me different challenges as well. So I think there's a lot of room for improvement, whether that's flicking a different ball, whether that's different stock balls, whatever I can come up with. It's just about trying to get better, I guess.
What about with the obviously with Glenn McGrath and Jace Dizzy Gillespie and these boys, they knocked up a 50 or 100 or a double ton as they got deeper into their career. Is that a goal you've got or something you'd love to put on the resume at the end of when you hang up the boots eventually?
Well, it's got to an interesting stage in my career. I think I've got the record for the most test match innings in test match cricket history with no 50. So I don't know whether I want to get there or not, or just keep that record to myself and see how long I can push it. But no, it's something that I want to get better at. I know I'm bad with Hads in the past, and we've had some good fun out the middle. And Hads used to be my batting's improved since I used to bat with Hads, and he used to wind me up pretty quickly because the bowling was fast or whatnot. So it was quite entertaining with Brad and the changers. But it's something that I'm trying to get better at. So fingers crossed we can get 50 one day.
I think Nathan had the easiest time to bat ever. He used to sit next to me and say, what do you think they're going to do? And I said, mate, you might as well take your pads off. He goes, oh, what, you think these two are going to score a lot? I said, mate, they're not bowling at your legs. They're going straight. They're going to try to hit your fingers. And he goes, Hads, be serious. I said, mate, I'm being serious. Then got the opportunity to bat with him a couple of times. And he's walked out to bat. He said the same thing. What do you reckon? I said, mate, get ready to duck to go and try to hit you in the head. And there was a time at the MCG, we had a bad day. We're trying to get a partnership. We ended up putting on 40 on at the end. And they're bouncing line. Oh, he goes, what do you do? I said, well, don't stand still. They're going to hit you. So do whatever you can to get out of the way of the ball. And he's playing a lot of shots. They got a message sent out. And they said to Lino, I said, mate, stay in there with Hads. He might be able to put a few runs on the board before the end. And he's looked at me. He goes, mate, you're one telling me this. So I said, mate, I'm telling you, they're only going to go at your head or fingers.
Yeah. So that was Jimmy Anderson bowling at the MCG. He bowled me five bumpers in a row. Then Hads walks up. Hads has been sitting on his back, just
laughing.
Don't come up to me. Then he goes, walks up to the wicket and goes, clear your front leg, hit him over mid on, and you'll be the king of the MCG. You'll hit him for six or four. I said, Hads, if he does that, he's going to hit me fair in the teeth if he bowls short. And he goes, don't worry about it. He'll get greedy. He'll go to the stumps. And fair enough, he did that. I cleared the front leg and donged him for four, and the crowd went nuts. So.
The reason is knowing the fast bowler's mentality. He's bowled him five bumpers in a row. I'm sitting up on my bat laughing my head off. And knowing the quicks, they want to knock that number 11 over. They'll eventually go up the stumps. And at Cow Corner was Bay 13. And I remember walking down, and you talk about getting the crowd involved. I said, Lino, he's definitely coming at your stumps. So let's hit a six into Bay 13. How good would that be? He said, well, what happens if he bumps me? I said, oh, let's just go red or black today. I reckon you're right. I reckon he's going. And the ball was exactly where we wanted it. He just got an inside edge and got enough of it to go before. But just imagine, Lino, if you got the whole piece of that and hit it six into Bay 13, they'd still be talking about it.
Hey, well, I'll try it then, Boxing Day this year.
Hey, just on that, mate, you've been climbing up the order too, haven't you? You've been batting a fair bit at 10. So he sold you a little short there, Bradley.
No, that's because Josh is a lot bigger than me, and he bullies me and pushes me out before I get the chance to fight back. So, and I've got to bat when the batters get scared. Don't forget that, Jimmy. So,
yeah, that's true. That's true. Hey, I want to ask you, mate. Sorry, Hads. I want to ask you, getting back to a bit of serious stuff. What's your greatest attribute as a cricketer, as a sports person? I think I know, but I'd love to hear from you.
I wouldn't have a clue, to be honest. It's something that I think for me is never give up attitude and always willing to back your mates and do anything for your team. That's something that I'd pride myself on, and especially when the bowling gets fast and it gets dark and Smithy doesn't want to go out the bat and he taps me on the shoulder and says, out you go. I think that's a prime example of it. But, yeah, it's an interesting one. So I think that's something that I'll look back at the end of my career and figure out what I was good at and what I wasn't.
Yeah, I reckon I could answer that a bit too, Jimmy. I think one of Lino's strength is his character. He's one of those guys, you know, when push comes to shove in the middle, you want him next to you. You know he's playing for Australia for those right reasons. The baggy green's important to him. And I think to answer that in full is you just have to see the position Nathan holds. Nathan's the leader of the song for Australia. You've got your captain, yeah. And then you've got the next guy who sings the song for Australia. So, Lino, that must have been an amazing moment when Mike Hussey handed you a letter, called you to his room and had a chat about taking over the Song for Australia. I've got goosebumps thinking about it.
Yeah, 100%. I've got the letter just around the corner in the room. It's something that a day I'll never forget. And, yeah, I was pretty blown away by it, to be honest with you. So in this big scheme of things now, it's something that's pretty humbling and probably up there at the proudest moment of my career for sure.
And I'll tell you the importance of that as well. We know how important the Australian captain is to the Australian cricket team, and we can sit here and have a debate that he's more important than the Prime Minister. But once that match is finished, the Australian captain goes out the window and all attention goes on to Nathan Lyon. So that's how important that position is. And you just have to look at the characters before him. You got Ricky Ponting, who sung it, Michael Hussey, David Boone, Heels, the list goes on and on and on. So, mate, that's one of the things. I know you, Lino's a very humble man, but that's one of the things when you sit back at the end of your career, you can have a cold beer and enjoy that.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Hopefully a few years left, though.
Yeah, yeah. Is there a standout time you sang the song? Is there, of all the times you've sung it and led the song, is there one moment that stands out?
Well, when I got given it, it was in 2012-13 January tests against Sri Lanka. Anyway, then Huss sung it then, and we played 9 test matches following in India, then in England. We didn't win one. So I actually thought, well, I was going to be the first bloke to get handed the team song but never sing it. So the first one was actually at the Gabba, and I was proper nervous because you had the likes of Haddon and Clark and Watson and Johnson, these guys who I had pictures on my wall growing up. Then suddenly you're leading their team song. So I was pretty nervous. So that one jumps out at me, but there's been some really good ones actually. So hopefully there's a few more to come though. It'll be nice.
Well, what do you make of the England side that's been announced? There's a few notable omissions. No Jofra Archer, you'll be happy about that. Ben Stokes, well, he's back doing some bowling in the net, so that's interesting. Joe Root's there. What was your take when you first read the squad?
I thought it was exactly the same squad that I would have picked previously. They were all talking that the quarantine was going to get the best of them and they weren't going to come out. But I've said it before, Ashes series are the type of Ashes. The Ashes series are the series that makes people's careers. And plus, Christmas out here in Australia, summer out here in Australia, it's pretty good, a lot better than being in London, to be honest with you. So I'm pretty, excited by the challenges that lay ahead. I've got a sneaking feeling that Stokes will be out here and be a part of it. So don't be surprised when you see that. Disappointing Jofra's not out here. It would have been an amazing challenge for our batters. I don't want to face him out here, don't get me wrong, but it would have been a good challenge for us, and would have been, as I said, a good challenge for where our batters are at as well. So even though they've got Broad and Anderson, so it'll be decent.
Yeah, I tend to agree with about the Ben Stokes. I've seen a few things recently. They started to pick up a bat again and go through his drills, and we're still enough time away for him to be a twist, and there wouldn't be an Ashes campaign without a hero and a villain, but there also wouldn't be an Ashes campaign without a twist. The theatre's different around it, and I'm with you. I think we will see Ben Stokes at some stage, and I think that for the series is great news. He's a performer under pressure, and he loves nothing more than beating Australia as well. So I think we might see him out here as well, Lino.
And out of all the grounds around the country and the world, Lino, where would you rate as your favourite place to play?
I've got two that stand out to me. Sydney's probably up there just because of the pure fact that family and friends, you're playing there in front of them a lot. But Adelaide Oval is probably the best cricket wicket in the world in my eyes, and purely off the back of having a contest between bat and ball. Adelaide's up there. Then you throw the pink ball in as well, and the theatre are down there. Adelaide's an unbelievable test. If you want to go to a test match, that's one I'd recommend going down and being a part. You won't watch much cricket, but I dare say it'll be decent fun.
I'm trying to think of the Adelaide Test match where you bowled Australia to victory. You did it fourth innings, and it was sort of like the big tick. And this is many years ago. The big tick that everyone said, well, you know, he's doing this, he's doing that, but this is what we want him to do, and that's when you did it. Does that play a part in making that one of your favourite grounds? Because it was a real confirmation of you as a you know, a senior Australian bowler.
I think that's got a lot to do, that test match in 2014 when Pup ripped his hamstring and Hads actually took over. So I think that's got a lot to do with that, my success that day. I think if you look at Adelaide Oval, I've got obviously a lot of connections there, on the field, off the field, working there, etc. So I think that's probably why my favourite ground is probably Adelaide. But I think Damien down there is unbelievable curator, and it's the facilities there are incredible. So it's good fun.
Yeah, I'll tell you about that test a bit there. A lot of interesting things happened over the 24 hours that from that last day, that test leading up. I remember Michael going off with his hamstrings, and we still needed, I think, 7 wickets in the last session. Coley was on fire. He scored 200s for the match, and it was my first time I got to captain in a test match. And I remember I had so much advice coming from everyone. I thought, I need to simplify this situation here. So I just walked up the line and said, oh, you're going to be bowling. He said, oh, what now? I said, no, for the rest of the day. So no matter what happens, you're staying on from one end. You ball or roll. And he goes, really? I said, yeah. Well, I said, that's one end sorted. And he was outstanding. He was outstanding. He got 5 or 6 and bowled us to victory in the end. Yeah, I didn't count or I wasn't captain for the first part of the game. But and another part of that as well is we're having an unbelievable beer at the bar afterwards. Mitch Marsh is holding court with all the ex-players. He nearly dropped Coley. He's meant to take an easy catch at waist height, and he went down his knees and he put the cups down on his hands and nearly dropped it. So he was entertaining the crowd with that. And there was a lot of talk about who was going to be Australian captain. And I remember having a beer with Mark Taylor. And I don't know if this is the smartest thing I've done or the most stupid thing I've done. But I said, Tubby, if you're looking for a captain, don't come to me. And I'm at that age to retire. And maybe have a look at someone like Steve Smith for that test match. So I still don't know if that was a beer talking or stupidity. But I think that was my captaincy lasted about one session with Australia.
It worked.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've seen you out and had a few beers, Brad. It's not the most stupid thing you've done. So just to clarify that too. So.
have a our window at the end of a test match, we can get away with anything. So,
yeah, exactly.
There's the best moments you'll take at the back end of your career too, Lionel. I know we all have a lot of success on the field, we're playing some great test matches, but the moment after a test match, when you're just sitting in there with your teammates, you've been to battle with them for 5 days, they're the moments that you miss and cherish the most, I think, when you retire.
Yeah, well, I'm missing them now over the last 8 months, so I can kind of understand that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to hopefully a lot more of those moments. A couple stand out to me after the Ashes in England. That was all over the Ashes documentary, which was pretty incredible scenes with the celebration. So yeah, I'll definitely miss him once it's time.
Have you got a day, Nathan? Brad made mention of the fact you got a wicket with your very first ball in Test cricket. We've talked about the success you've had at Adelaide and many other times. Was there any time when you were playing in a Test match where you just thought, this is me at my best? This is when I've, you know, you just, everything felt right, everything felt good, and you played your very best cricket. Was that special moment? You're in the zone?
Hopefully it's yet to come, to be honest with you, Jimmy. There's been a couple of moments where I think, shit, I'm on here, which is nice, but I think the biggest challenge within being professional sport is making your good days great, because we have a lot more bad days than what we do have good days. So I think the big challenge is, mate, when you're on, you make the most of it type thing. So there's been a couple of days where I felt really good. One that stands out is Edgbaston Test 2019, last day five, which it just seen the ball come out of my hand really nicely. And yeah, I was pretty confident with it.
Well, I know we spoke earlier about how you terrorised Mo and Ali. If you had a crystal ball and you're looking at this series, who would you love to have the wood over come the fifth test this summer?
I couldn't care. Whoever comes out the bat for England, to be honest with you. I think it's going to be a different challenge. I think they figured out a little plan against me at the back end of the Ashes in 2019 and play me all off the back foot. So I've been working hard and come up with different plans. I think Rory Burns is going to be quite challenging. Here in Australia, he's going to wait and hopefully use my bounce to his advantage. So I've been working on a couple of different balls to hopefully hit him in the shin. But I think someone like Joe Root, you want to challenge yourself against. Obviously, he's the best batter in the world at the moment, and I know Smithy's not too happy about that. So fingers crossed our batters can line up and knock him off that again.
Well, the GOAT, we hope you enjoyed the when you do get on the field for New South Wales, and thank you very much for it, mate. Your presence today. I was a bit nervous about you coming on, to be honest. I know we've shared the change room a lot. We've had some good wins and some bad wins, but thank you for joining us, and thank you for leaving everything intact and in the change rooms as a good Australian cricketer should.
Always happy to anytime, Bradley.
Fantastic, mate. Great to have you on. All the best with the prep, and go get that English team, hey?
Too easy. Thanks, guys. Enjoy.